Thanks to innovations in camera technology, wildlife biologists are now able to peek into the lives of animals like never before. Now, a new book called Candid Creatures, How Camera Traps Reveal the Mysteries of Nature, compiles the best camera trap photos from around the world. I talked with author Roland Hayes, head of the Biodiversity Lab at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. Hayes starts our conversation by explaining just what a camera trap is.
A camera trap is a pretty simple device, really. It's a waterproof box with a motion sensor and a camera. And so whenever an animal walks by this box, which we strap to a tree, it triggers the motion sensor and the camera takes a picture.
And so what has your experience been with camera traps? How did you get involved with making this book?
So I, like other scientists, started using camera traps to record these animals, where they live, what they look like, which species live together. But in the process, I've also been getting all these awesome pictures. And so I have on my computer a folder of greatest hits camera trap pictures. And I realized that every other scientist around the world probably had their own greatest hits folder. And so this book was really an effort to try to collect some of these great pictures from around the world and use them to help describe the science and the conservation work that these camera trappers are doing all around the world.
Can you give us some examples of some of those photographs that ended up being some of your favorites that ended up in the book?
Well, there's one of my favorite stories is this crazy animal called a tyra, which is it's kind of a big weasel that lives in the tropics, and scientists had seen it running around with green plantains, like unripe bananas, in its mouth. And they wondered what was going on, because nothing can eat them when they're that green. And so they put a camera trap on the plantain tree, and they got the tyra coming and ripping these plantains off before they ripened. And what they did was they hit a radio transmitter in the plantain and tracked it. And they found that these tyras were actually burying the plantains and hiding them somewhere so that the monkeys and other animals wouldn't get them at the tree once they ripened, and putting them in a place where only they knew where they were, and then once they did eventually ripen, they would come eat them. So I thought that was a cool example of sort of a little mystery that some observant scientist, you know, saw something strange in the woods, made an observation, and then planned an experiment with camera traps to help solve the mystery.
Yeah, it seemed like there was several of those types of things in this book where some of these photographs are really solving mysteries or revealing that species are occupying areas that we didn't realize that they were occupying. Can you give me some other examples of the ways in which camera traps are really helping us to learn more about wildlife?
Yeah, sure. So there is a couple examples of species that were feared to be extinct, like the Sumatran ground cuckoo or the Angolan giant sable antelope that no one had seen in some cases many, many decades. With the ground cuckoo since, I think, like 1913 or something, it hadn't been seen. So people were afraid that it was totally extinct, and then they got a camera trap picture of it. And so it showed, you know, just that one picture can show you that something is still alive.
Now, I know that these camera traps, the technology has really been evolving over time. Do you mind giving me just a little bit of history of where, you know, this type of work started and how technology has revolutionized it?
Sure. So camera traps, surprisingly to many people, have been around for over 100 years. And I have in the book a picture of one of the early pioneers of camera traps named Frank Chapman, who had, you know, picture the old-timey camera that would have these giant flash bulbs go off. He had that rigged up in the rainforest in Panama with a tripwire. And when a peccary or a tapir or some animal would walk by and trip the tripwire, it would trigger the camera. And he didn't have electric flashes. Instead, he had cakes of magnesium powder that would explode and set off a noise like a small cannon, totally freaking out, you know, the animal, I'm sure, but getting these amazing pictures that you can still see today and are actually still useful scientific evidence showing what species lived, you know, in this part of Panama in the 1920s. So that's kind of where we started. And as camera technology evolved, then camera trap technology evolved. So we moved to 35 millimeter film, electric flashes, auto advance, but really, you know, moving into the digital world was where things really started taking off, because you weren't restricted to, you know, 36 exposure roll of film like we used to be, you know, even 10 or 15 years ago.
It seems like the weight of all this technology has been reduced as well, so that you can get it further out into the wilds. Like you're not having to cart out giant batteries and things like that. It seems like some of those types of things have also been innovated as well.
Oh, for sure. The power is better. The lithium batteries are lighter and last longer. The memory cards hold more, you know, pretty much unlimited number of pictures at this point. And now we're starting to get some video, which includes sound, which is super cool because you can start to get an extra dimension. You can hear the animal sometimes. Most mammals don't make a lot of noise, but I was just running a camera recently at a fox den, and a coyote showed up and was trying to get into the fox den, and you could hear on the video the fox barking at him from off screen, so you couldn't see the fox, but you could hear him, and then the coyote goes running off and chasing the fox. So having that little sound sort of added an important dimension to the story of what I learned on the camera trap.
And so what do you see as far as where these innovations maybe are still lacking, where this still needs to be improved, you know, in the future?
Sure. Well, there's two things I think that are on the horizon. One is just tools to help us manage massive amounts of pictures, because now, you know, we're like, oh, great, we can get a million pictures. But I'm like, oh, no, I've got a million pictures. What do you do with them? So the other thing that I'd love to try would be a 3D camera, because that would allow us to actually take measurements on the animals.
We have been speaking with Roland Kays, the author of Candid Creatures. Thank you so much, Roland, for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.